This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I asked my date to meet me at the gym today. She didn't show up. I think that's when I knew we weren't going to work out.
Like it. Simple Punchy. And effective.
Do you want me to tell the joke? No? See? Statement of fact. No, for clarity, that was the joke. And true. And a joke. Score, okay, Nate. Laza, well, give me the score.
So, the score originally was going to be... was going to be 8.9.
Okay.
But just before we began recording this podcast, you revealed that you had to go on Google and went 2 or 3 links down to find a joke. therefore put in about 3 seconds worth of prep into it.
Yeah, but I nailed it as well. So I think if anything, that gives me more, that should be more of a point. I didn't sit here writing the joke out, going over it and over and over again.
Right? True, true.
Also, but... when you said originally it was going to be an 8.9, like you arrived there, like some random decimal place. I don't understand. So wait, is it going up or down from 8.9?
You're going to say, you like, might talk yourself out of it now.
It's now like an 8.781 or something.
No, we're not doing multiple decimal places yet.
Who knows where we'll end up by the end of the year.
Look, I can't explain how my mind works. It just can calculate this decimal place. It's just
if anyone knows that statement's true, it's me.
Yeah. It's gonna get. It's being downgraded slightly to an 8.7.
So, me admitting to Google cost me 0.2.
You lack in preparation has cost you 2/10.
Oh, me. But what about honesty with my friends?
Oh, I do appreciate.
What about telling the truth?
But you're always honest with me, so I expect that as a default now.
I think you've got off lightly here. I think that knowing the facts now as we do, that the punishment could have been harsher. So I'd take it and move on, mate.
Wow. So my agreed score agreement, ABA, ASA rather, is an 8.7.
Correct.
So I can either accept that or take it to the Barretto joke adjudication panel. Which I will not do. I will accept my punishment begrudgingly.
I mean, we've got a panel if you want to go to the panel.
But the panel's just you two. I can't win this, really, can I? I begrudgingly accept 8.7 with a heavy heart.
And I think realistically, the biggest damage has been to your reputation around this whole...
Yeah, reputation debacle, damage. So. It's a deterrent going forward. It is a deterrent. It should stop me from doing it again. Who knows whether I gained anything on previous jokes from my preparation this time. I guess we'll never know.
I kind of want to give you a higher score now because that was almost funnier, but let's start the show. Welcome to the Padhoc, a podcast featuring stories following Formula One around the world. I'm Lawrence Barretto, F1 correspondent and presenter.
And I'm Chris Medland, F1 correspondent and racer.
And he's Soldier. I'm Nate Saunders, general editor at ESPN. And I did do that. I like that. I saw you sipping from tea as I was talking, Laz. So.
And you wanted me to spit it all out.
I did, yeah. Very nice, you did well, know. Actually, not to.
Thanks, I think. I want to draw attention, Nate. To the fact that you are very well lit today.
I am, yes.
So, of course, our listeners can't see Nate, unfortunately, but I can see Nate very
I'm
well.
I'm a very well-lit man today.
And he seems to have some sort of ring light, possibly. So I can see all of his face very clearly.
I have invested in a ring light. I have indeed. And this isn't it, though. This is just my lamp. I was trying to set the ring light up. The ring light is the other side of the lamp. And I couldn't get it to work in time for the show. Because I was too busy not Googling a joke, you see. So that next week I'll be even better lit than this. This is just a lamp. Like the Pixar lamp, basically. But instead of jumping on stuff, it's looking at me and shining. So
is this because you're big time now, Nate?
Well, yeah, I mean, the request has been that usually my face is not well lit enough when we do ESPN shows. I think there's been a general clamoring. People have said, I would watch the show.
General clamoring.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. General clamoring. Addie Soldier, again. But people said, I won't watch the video aspect of it because I can't see Nate's face properly. It's not well lit enough. And same for Lawrence Edmondson, who does Unlapped as well. And Katie George, both, all of us. They're like, we can't see you well enough. So, yeah, so we've invested. And I have a new webcam, which I'm not using as well. They're all in
well,
the box.
Thanks.
I will, for the next show. Basically, I'm a bit unorganized today. And Lawrence and I were talking about napping earlier and the amount of naps we've been taking.
We were.
I took one accidentally at 12 until about 1 o'clock, which for anyone listening is irrelevant because I don't know when we recorded this, but several hours ago. Anyway, over to you, Lawrence, for the rest of the show.
Well, I want to. I do want to get into the fact that you mentioned ESPN shows, plural. And Ooh. Follow up on my previous comment that you're big time. But there's something far more important that we need to do first.
If you've only got 1 minute to spare, want to know who finished when and where, sit back, relax, because we got you. Here's Nate with a 60-second review.
Hello, this is my review of the Mexican Grand Prix, the Mexico Grand Prix, Mexico City Grand Prix. Call it what you want. Basically, everyone else did. So here we go. 3, 2, 1. First position, Max Verstappen. I mean, what can you say about the guy? You know, he's pretty damn good. He's pretty damn good, Red Bull. Okay, please don't blacklist me. I genuinely think he's very good, so you know, you shouldn't blacklist me. Lewis Hamilton in second position. I think he's going to finish second like all the time now to Max. It's quite sad, isn't it? Sergio Perez, Minister of Defense, in third. George Russell, not a happy camper with those tires. Fifth place and sixth place, Sainz and Leclerc. I think that's probably the most disappointing Ferrari performance I've ever seen. I don't think I even saw either of them in the race. The mighty have crumbled. They've fallen. Bang Bang in seventh position, Danny Ric. Esteban Ocon in eighth position. He was only in eighth because Fernando Alonso's greatest drive of all time ended with a mechanical failure. Lando Norris in ninth, solid from him. Valtteri Bottas was really good all week, 10th position. We love Gasly. Unfortunately, this weekend he loved an 11th position. Albon, Joe, Vettel, Stroll, Mick, Kevin, then Nicholas Latifi was there. Yeah, and then Alonso, Tsunoda, DNF. Not a great race, guys. I'm sorry. Review wasn't fantastic.
Sorry, I
forgot about the time constraint of it as well. I looked down and I was like, I've got 20 seconds left to do half the field. So it wasn't a great race, was it? It was a bit sad, a bit deflating, because I thought we were going to have Lewis Max, which is like the fourth time we've thought that this year, isn't it? We're like, yes! Mm. Oh, no. Max is just way too good.
I mean, are you going to keep saying that just to make sure that you're allowed to speak to him?
Max is really good. Max is great. Anyone listening?
But did you just say that you were really looking forward to Lewis versus Max and therefore you wanted Lewis to be good enough to fight Max? Because that's really, you know, is that not disrespectful to Max?
That is pretty disrespectful. Actually, you know what? I take it all back. Yeah, that was pretty disrespectful. I didn't want that. I don't want that to ever happen. I just want Max to win everything from this point on. How about you guys?
Let's firstly explain for anyone who doesn't know, but I'm sure they will do, that Red Bull blocked Sky from talking to Max and Christian over the weekend in Mexico for their coverage of everything since Abu Dhabi, I think, to do with Red Bull, they seem to suggest, and that they weren't happy that Ted Kravitz walked around saying that Lewis Hamilton was robbed a few times, even though he never said by Red Bull, because he wasn't robbed by Red Bull. So if anyone should have blacklisted Sky, it should have been the FIA, I think.
Yeah, I think that the term robbed is used a lot more in Britain than it is in that context around the place. So I think it's a harsh reason. Look, and I think Red Bull just have their back up against the wall right now, don't they? Like, you go and talk to them at the moment and they're very defensive about things, which is, you know, you think the context of the last few weeks, I guess, makes sense. Great story, though. If you're a journalist, like, you can't not like that story. Unless you're Ted Kravitz. You probably don't like that story. But
yeah, or Sky. Or you Sky. Know, work for ESPN, who takes Sky's feed and therefore didn't get to hear from Horner or
yeah, Sam. Well, that is an issue, isn't it? And that's why I'm just want to reiterate that, you know, Max is probably the greatest driver of all time. it's not even close at this point. Yeah, it's actually embarrassing how bad everyone else is, wouldn't you say? Anyway, I can see you two are uncomfortable, so...
I'm waiting for Barreto to have to try and find a way out of this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to let you guys crack on.
Yeah. Anyway, so now we're going to hear from our FIA spokesperson, who's just joining us, for balance. No, we don't have...
I'm definitely not...
This is our first guest, Michael Matsey. Michael, welcome to the show. Oh, no. He's just dropped out. We'll get him back. We'll get Michael back later.
Speaking of ESPN,
yeah, mate, let's move it on.
Lawrence mentioned it. I even called him Lawrence. I'm getting serious. We're getting this as professional hour.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel deeply uncomfortable.
I don't know where I'm going like this.
Meadows has had his Eton scholarship revoked on the back of that. He's not going to private school.
Anyway, you were a big deal in Austin, right?
Well, I think so. Apparently, people have said that. So was Lawrence Edmondson. To shout out to my colleague at ESPN. But yeah, we did loads of really amazing stuff out there. Like ESPN, it will be more of a thing, I think, going forward. Like the North America shows, probably Monaco as well, maybe a few others, where there's like loads of cameras on site. And because Lawrence and I have been doing it, this is Lawrence Edmondson now for the next couple mentions of Lawrence will be Edmondson. Sorry, Barreto. But
that's okay.
But yeah, so Lawrence Edmondson, Lawrence E., interviewed Lewis, interviewed the Ferrari guys, interviewed George. I interviewed the McLaren drivers on stage. Did Marty and McGee on Saturday morning, which was great. Like, I love that show. We talked about it in Miami as well. Just two of the coolest human beings ever, and they love F1.
And they love you, Nate.
They love you. Interjection. He's on a podcast with us too, and goes two of the coolest human beings ever. I mean, well, know your audience.
I was about to segue and be like, "There's lots of those around." And then I was going to mention you guys.
Just keep digging.
Definitely. sorry, don't take it personally, Meadows. I meant two of the coolest guys who cover college sports for ESPN. There you go.
So
what's
happened there, though, is you've downgraded the compliment to one podcast and still let one podcast feel deeply hurt.
Hey, I'm doing badly today. Like, I've took a really nice compliment to those two guys. I've just thrown it in the bin just to appease Meadows. And make him look less sad on this.
And it didn't work.
No, it didn't work. But no, I appreciate you guys saying I'm big time. I'm not going to start saying that. I don't want to get an ego, even though I am. no, it was really cool. Like, they're leaning way more into, like, me and Lawrence Edmondson doing stuff on camera. You know, we've been there for a long time, so both of us are super stoked to be doing it. F1 in America right now is just crazy. You know, the attention, the interest is just nuts. It's funny because there's people from within ESPN, and I think ESPN are getting requests from outside as well, from, you know, guests and partners. Like, can you get us, like, I want to be in Vegas next year. And everyone's like, all right, well, like, hold your horses. Like, there's only so many things that can be accommodated. But it's cool because the company's rallying behind it. Obviously, the reason it was a big weekend generally for ESPN was we got 3 years of TV, you know, the new deal in America, which is awesome. So I'm buzzing. I had a great weekend. My interviews with Lando and Daniel are both on YouTube. If people want to check them out, I thought especially the Lando interview was one of my best, like one of my favorite interviews I've done. I was going to say best. I mean, best in terms of the answers that were given. And you two know better than anyone. When you do a good interview, you come away from it feeling pretty good. You're like, oh, I'll pat myself on the back for that. Like, they opened up to me as much as they did to the questions I was asking. Yeah, it was just really good. You know, it was nice. I think I got a glimpse of your world a bit, Lawrence, like just being able to talk to people in that environment, and you're not in, you know, a crowded media session with 10 other journalists. It's just you and them. You're asking them questions. You're trying to get a bit of a, you know, a bit of a good vibe going. You know, you're not always trying to make them laugh, but you want it to be a nice chat. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. So I don't know. Maybe I'll do more of it as it goes on. Oh, and on the Sunday morning, did the ESPN pre-show on digital and on the app, which was crazy. So apparently, they've been listening to the Pad Hoc, and they're like, can we get Meadows? And they're like, no, Meadows, he works for other places. All right, we'll get Barreto. I know he works for F1. They're like, okay, well, we'll get that other guy. And they're like, wait, he works for us already? Okay, let's just put him on. So yeah, no, it's very cool. And I had a great, probably my favorite race I've done for F1 as a result. It was probably, I don't know if you guys know off the top of your head which is your favorite, but for me, work-wise, that was easily the best one. That one and maybe Abu Dhabi and Brazil last year that were just, you know, mega fun for what happened around the races. But that one, from a personal perspective, easily the best.
Wow.
I know. That was a long monologue, wasn't it? That was like a Shakespearean monologue, but probably better.
Well, yeah, and you stopped me really taking the piss out of anything by talking about how much it was great for you and you loved it and stuff, and just a nice positive ending that I couldn't really pick a hole in.
No, make fun of what, I mean, do it. I mean, you know, that's how you keep people grounded, isn't it? So it's what I do with you, for example, Medus, when I joke about your round face. It's all to humble you, to keep you grounded.
Very, very round face.
Very round face, sorry, yeah. Which is looking very round today. But no, please do. I mean, roast away if you need to. The roast of Nate Saunders may commence. Or not.
I mean, I've got nothing. I thought your live hit in particular, can't remember what day it was. That was Martin McGee, wasn't it, I think? When you did live from the paddock. And I know how hard that can be when you've got an earpiece in, you've got people talking to you, you can't see who you're talking to, you're just talking down a lens, and you would never have known that you haven't really done that much. So I thought that was awesome.
And I think I joked to you about it, didn't I? It's for anyone listening, that is really quite a jarring experience when you first have that earpiece in, because you can kind of hear yourself. You can hear, especially if you can't, I couldn't see. So Ryan and Marty weren't in Austin. I think they were at the LSU game. So that's Louisiana. Is that right? Yeah, Louisiana.
Yeah, and New Orleans, I think, weren't
they? Yeah, so
Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge, that's it. And it was great because for about 10 minutes before I could hear the show that they were doing, they do a fantastic show and they have like hillbilly headlines and stuff. So I was just sat like laughing away. And I was like, at one point they showed that like Nate Saunders up next, and I'm just like grinning at the camera because I was listening to them talk about it. But it is, you're right, like you'll have producers and stuff and they try not to talk over you when you're going. But it is just odd. And I had the earpiece in and it kept like slipping out. So like I felt really conscious about it. And I pushed it in twice or three times. And Lawrence, you'll know this better than anyone. When you're doing that, you suddenly, if you push your ear once, you're like, oh my God, I must have looked ridiculous. That must have looked stupid. I went to the producer and I was like, oh, I felt really dumb pushing the earpiece in. He was like, I didn't even notice. Whereas to me, I was like really stressing out about it. So it shows you like it is really difficult. And full respect to like new people that do it on the news every day, because yeah, I think to be able to do that every single week, I guess it becomes natural, but still it's a really difficult thing. And just a quick side note on this, because I really want to say it because it's funny. And for people in outside the UK, you will know that politics here is an absolute dumpster fire. But Nadine Dorries recently said that live TV looked super easy. She's an MP, massive Boris Johnson ally. Don't know if you guys saw this, but she did a live hit on the, I think it was on the Piers Morgan show. She was like, I could do this easily. And she fell over all her words. She was like reading off a teleprompter with like a voice in her ear and she couldn't do it. And it was one of the most satisfying things I've ever seen, because she's, you know, just trying to destroy, you know, British TV, the BBC, stuff like that. And she made a complete ass of herself. So I thought at the very least I can leave my career being like, I did a better live hit than Nadine Dorries did. And I'm happy with that. That's good. Please. That's pleasing. So that's going on the resume, guys.
So it should. Maybe on the Twitter bio.
It might have to. I mean, I think I do need to change my bio up because it's currently still previously voted the sexiest man called Nate Saunders, who works for ESPN, which is good. But it's, you know, I need to come up with a new one because I think that's about a year old now.
You need to keep it fresh, Nate.
Yeah. I mean, I lost that competition this year somehow. finished second.
That's why previously, right?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll previous winner.
Well, while you were smashing it in Austin, Mr. Barreto, you weren't exactly quiet, were you?
In Austin?
Yeah.
I mean, I write these run plans, and it's a shock that I still don't know where we're going.
Was that meant to be a bit or something? What was going on?
I think it's just jet lag. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
I think I am slightly jet lagged, if I'm honest. But Austin was a great weekend. I'm just trying to think what I did there, which was so great. We did a more extensive pre-race show there. So we had a stage up on a balcony next to the podium. So that was pretty cool. And I did notice, the one other thing I noticed is that people in America love Formula One even more than they did the year before. Not just because I did a few selfies and autographs along the way.
Just a few.
But you can really notice it, can't you? I found that, like, everyone's so knowledgeable now. You know, a few years ago, it wasn't the case. You know, 5 years ago when I first went for the US Grand Prix.
No, and it's like small things, like taxi drivers talk to you about it involuntarily. People at hotels, restaurants, bars, people talk about it. Whereas beforehand, that was never the case. It was a race was happening and you might bump into a Formula One fan. But no one really talk about it, as is the case where you go to a lot of other Grand Prix around the world. People talk about it because it's in town and they know it's in town. Whereas I really felt this year was the year where it really proved that Formula One is starting to break America, I think.
So we went to Topgolf on Wednesday and Lawrence got approached while there because he was spotted from being on the television.
Wow.
And then and you're like, oh, okay, maybe slight crossover with, you know, sporting sport. People and like sport. But then I think it was later the same day or the next day, we went to meet a friend of ours who's writing a book about their F1 life that Lawrence and I both had kind of read and given him feedback on, called Chris Henley, who works for Fox in Latin America. So keep your eyes peeled for that name on a book at some stage. It's not published yet. But he wanted to buy us in and say thanks. So we're like, sure. And I met Lawrence at his hotel, which was two blocks from where we were going for dinner, and stood in the lobby waiting to leave. And he comes down and has to stop and do a couple of photos. And I'm like, wow. You know, A, there's people within the hotel, but B, famous. We then walk out the front door. We have to walk, I guess it's, you know, the hotel covers a whole block. So you have to walk half the block to the corner of the hotel to then go down the side of it. And between leaving the front door and getting to the corner of the hotel building, he had to do a further 6 photos.
Wow. That is nuts.
6 times in about 20 yards.
I'd forgotten you were there, Medis.
Yeah.
I remember
that. Yeah, I know. It showed at the time that I forgot I was there. I just stood around because he was finished and he'd walk off. And I'm like, wait for me. Stay out of the way.
I got a glimpse of that in Budapest with you, Laz, because I remember we on the Sunday, we spent ages looking for dinner, didn't we? And wherever we stopped to queue up for a bit, people came up and were asking for selfies.
Yes,
I was very impressed
true.
Then. But it seemed spread out. I think it was maybe 4 in the space of 20 minutes. So your ratio is really coming down. Was it same in Mexico? Because I was gutted not to be there. Because that, I don't know if you guys agree, but I think like the Austin-Mexico doubleheader is probably the best 2 weeks in F1.
It's the best one. I agree.
In terms of like just the vibe. The race wasn't great in Mexico, but like the venue is amazing. The atmosphere is always incredible. The fans are great. Like you get to go to two very cool parts of the world. Like I love it. But Mexico looked insane.
It was the atmosphere, as it has been for ages in Mexico, was incredible. And it kind of happened in Mexico as well. I was at the airport coming back and this lady just ran at me going, wait. And she ran, I would say, 60 meters. To make sure that I didn't turn around and walk away because I was a bit lost. I was tired and I couldn't work out which way I was going through the airport. So I must have looked very cloud-like. And she wanted a photo and stuff and had a chat. And she was really nice. I think what I've really noticed is I think it must be F1 TV that's available in those territories that people are watching more than, you know, you go to countries, say, like that have Sky as the broadcast and then it's more difficult to follow Formula One. So...
It's definitely the paddock, guys. Come on.
And of course it's the paddock, yeah. I mean, to be fair, though, there's been a couple of people who have come up to us and said that they listened to the pod.
That happened in Zandvoort a few times, I remember. They came up and we were walking as a three. They're like, oh, it's the paddock, guys. And we're like, I remember one because they said, oh, it's Lawrence and Chris and the three of you from the paddock.
Oh, no, that can't be what happened.
Come on. I was like, come on, man. Really? Like... Yeah, it was sweet because like they clearly just had they'd just not known who I was, or they looked at me and thought maybe that's Nate, maybe it's not, or maybe they just didn't know who I was. But yeah, paddock definitely gets some notices. Somebody in a bar on one of the nights came up and said to me that they loved the show, and it was just before we actually then sat and recorded it. It was the last show, which was Unmitigated Chaos in
sorry about that.
Blind Pig. No, I mean it was entertaining at the time.
It was in Lucille's, wasn't it?
Lucille's, sorry, yeah. When Christian McCaffrey broke Medlin's heart live on air.
Now, on that on that episode, I'm gonna Yeah, I'm going to move on from that moment. We did a poll because Nate was working out with all his TV stardom whether he was going to melt or freeze.
Oh, yeah.
And it was going to be, you know, which one do you want? And I ran the poll, and the results were on our Twitter feed. But for anyone who didn't see,
it was
exactly 50-50.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm pleased with, because it means just regular temperature, Nate, doesn't it? If I'm neither melting or freezing.
I guess. Someone did reply that you had to do both, as Barreto had suggested at the time.
During the
but
show.
But also, this is why, I've been brought to the socials now, because we're talking about the popularity of the show. Because, one, I want to apologise to Ash Jamo, who I think replied to something on Instagram, something to do with the paddock, but also saying, I'm in Mexico City for the race, like, any good recommendations for places to go? And I was like, I don't have many good ones, so I'm going to need to think of some or ask some people. And when I went to them reply, the message had gone, so I'm really sorry. Because Ash had said, I'm a big fan of the show on the original post. So apologies using this platform to say, sorry, I didn't reply. But someone tweeted at us saying, I think this is from Tom Horrocks, who says, I think Nate Saunders needs to have words with Lawrence Barreto. He was seen doing a 30-second race review on F1 TV.
Oh, yeah.
Who does he think he is?
I mean, imitation is the greatest form of flattery, first of all, is what I would say. However, I do need to get some legal guys to look into that, I think. Get some real infringement. Lawrence and I have to talk offline, basically. Actually, we won't talk. Our lawyers will talk after the show. And there will be litigation on that. And to be honest with you, I'm utterly betrayed and heartbroken at that. but did you do it in the style I do it in? Or did you just try and go your own way?
No. So this is a feature. There's a race recap feature at the start of Weekend Warm Up, which is our Thursday show on YouTube, on F1's YouTube channel. And most of the time, it's a mix between myself, Will, Rosanna, and Jolien, who will do a review of the last race. And so it's not in the style that you do it, like, where you effectively go through the classifications, unless you're writing poetry or doing something very random. And
it's always poetry. It's always poetry.
This is more a sort of it's a description of what happened. So I'm telling the story of the race. So I see them, Nate, as very different. And my review, or when I do the review, is nowhere near as punchy and as entertaining or as satisfied to listen as yours.
That sounds like someone who's practiced that answer for legal purposes. So yep. Very impressive. You've someone's obviously spoken to your lawyer already.
Someone's angling for a settlement, aren't they? Out of court.
Yeah. Well,
damn,
he's good.
On the next episode, we'll provide the latest in the court proceedings. But
there's just going to be a lot of bleeped out bits in the next episode, bits we can't air for legal reasons.
Yeah. What if it's just one long bleep?
Yeah, I mean, that probably would be a better show than a lot of ours. Might be entertaining.
But the only way to save yourself now, Barreto, is to read it off the run plan, talk about some shoes and taking a buggy around Mexico with Hinchcliffe.
It's good that you read straight off the run plan, because most of the time we don't stick to the run plan, so I appreciate that. That is.
Moving on.
We had a new... Oh, dear God. Don't make me have a shunt. Right, so let's talk. So, we had a new analyst join us this weekend, James Hinchcliffe of IndyCar fame and also second on Dancing with the Stars, which I hadn't realised. Second Dancing with the Stars. Would you guys ever go on Dancing with the Stars or Strictly Come Dancing? I mean, I digress.
No, because we're not stars.
What? Medders, you are the face of season one of Netflix. And Nate, you are becoming a growing face, not physically, on the ESPN.
I do have a growing face. I am going to shock you. If I was ever famous enough to go on Strictly Come Dancing or Dancing with the Stars, I 100% categorically, absolutely would consider it.
I would absolutely do it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I would. Easy. I think I would as well. I mean, come on, that would be... That would be the highlight of your career. It doesn't matter what else you did. Especially if you finished second
or
first.
But look, the training would be incredible. You'd actually get a skill out of it as well. It'll be so much fun.
I interviewed Elio Castroneves at Daytona at the start of this year for a podcast for Motorsport Magazine, the My Big Break series. So there's a plug for that if anyone wants to go check it out. But
double name drop. Love that. Nice one.
Yeah. But in that, we spoke about obviously racing things he'd done, but also Dancing with the Stars, because he won it, I think. I can't remember which year. But he said that was, yeah, completely different level. That took, you know, you're a fairly well-known racing driver for winning the Indy 500. But he said to go on a show like that just took you into this whole other realm. So, fair play to Hinch then for even being on it. That must be a big deal. You must have been in awe, Barreto.
Very much so. And he had some great stories about when he had like a massive shunt and he got impaled in an area you don't want to be impaled in. Really quite unpleasant. But such a lovely guy. We had him for Austin and Mexico, and he's coming for Abu Dhabi as well. Great to have an American style voice on. Obviously, he's Canadian. American style voice on the show. North American
voice. All of Canada
voice.
Is getting ready to have a
North
go.
North American.
Canadians listening to this are livid. I mean, they're not livid. They're very politely irritated. Like that. They wouldn't be livid.
Anyway, I'm moving on. Lovely to have him. But he took me for a spin in a golf buggy. Actually, a golf buggy that didn't seem to have a limiter on, which was quite exciting. You know, like the golf buggies we get sometimes, Meadows, when we go to play golf. Yeah, I know you hate this, Nate. But sometimes you can get golf buggies where they don't have the limiter on. So that was quite exciting. So we did a track guide for the pre-race show, which was great. And then I got not one, but two pairs of shoes for Mexico. Wow. So as you guys and friends of the show will know, I have
two feet.
I do have many. 2 feet, yes, and too many
both
shoes.
Of which Lawrence likes to put trainers around.
I do, I do indeed. And both the chaps who design shoes did the pairs for me. So both were Mexican spec shoes. I don't know if did you see them both?
I saw one of them, but did you play them off each other and be like, you know, so-and-so's doing me a pair as well and you've got to beat them?
Oh, no. So actually, initially, I'd have planned out the year with one guy, Michelle, and so the last pair he was deciding was the Mexican spec, but the second guy, Ken, just came to Mexico on a trip and did a surprise pair of shoes. So I wasn't expecting them. So it was great. And he put my Twitter handle on them as well, like sprayed at Loro Barreto.
Ah, I heard this. I heard about this. One shoe said at Loro and the other one just said Barreto.
That's it, yeah. So, and wow. I've retired them. I've officially retired them after one wear because they are so good. Like they are art. So they're going on my desk.
Is that
they
why?
Are art. Wow. To be fair, they did look as cool as anything I've ever seen you wear. So that was pretty cool.
But yeah, but
it's a low bar, but yeah.
I've got 65 pairs now, having fought really hard to get them down to 62. So I'm going to have to start doing something like giving them away to charity or something, because I can't keep this many shoes, guys. I've got too many shoes. And I appreciate it's not very sustainable, is it?
No, it's not. But you're right. If you give them away to charity, then they still get used. Maybe don't give the ones away that have your Twitter handle.
No.
That's a bit odd for someone else to wear.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
But yeah. Well, I mean, set up a charity.
That's
what you should do.
There
you go.
I think there's huge potential here. You could create an F1 car out of shoes.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. It just came to me. So you can steal that as well, like my review, like my 60-second review. maybe you could do half of a car instead of the full one, like 60 seconds versus 30 seconds. And I'll see you in court again.
I mean, I only dropped to 30 seconds, mate, because I was just trying to be ruthlessly efficient.
Nice.
You're saying that Nate isn't ruthlessly efficient?
No, I was just saying that
this court case is getting nasty.
No, I was just trying to say
some of the insults are being thrown around in my direction. Unbelievable.
Now, this might seem like it's just slightly like forced controversy or drama, but I went to something that was not forced or scripted at all and was completely legitimate in Mexico. I went to Lucha Libre.
Yeah, I'm very jealous.
Is without doubt
that's awesome.
One of my most fun nights of the year. I didn't get to go this year, but it's so much fun. Meadows, tell us why.
Because it's amazing. It was the third time I've been, and it's just hilariously over the top. It's almost like pantomime wrestling, with most wrestlers wearing masks that have to stay on, as in they are concealing their identity, and they always do. But some didn't. Some already had like either their faces exposed, or there was a moment where someone nearly had their face exposed, but not quite. And it was just a little bit crazy. There was a lot of sort of fighting outside the ring going on. There was, it finished with a, I think it was 8-on-8.
Oh, wow.
Women's wrestling match, rest of the world versus Mexico. And they would tag each other in, so you could only like knock out one person at a time. So it wasn't quite like a Royal Rumble, because there was only like a 1-on-1 at each moment, but then it would kick off outside. It's just amazing like how it all comes together. I don't, you know, just for it so naturally and organically be so exciting, you know, and definitely not at all faked, was just stunning.
You've got to choose your words carefully there. So, I'm a big wrestling fan, but to say wrestling is fake in some areas, it seems very offensive, because they prefer to say it's choreographed or it's, you know, it's performative. And what's really interesting, if you go there and you watch again, is you can see them talking to each other when they're in the ring. They're like calling moves to each other. Like, I'll throw you into the ropes, then you reverse it. They've got an idea of who they know who's going to win the match. Probably talked about a few things beforehand. Yeah. But I love it as quote unquote art. I think it's great. And I was gutted that you guys all got to go. We went a few years ago and we got to go in the ring, which was mega. But always looks like a lot of fun. And we, as I remember, we all had a bit to drink as well, and we were kind of messing around a bit, throwing each other into the ropes and stuff. And they hurt, don't they? When you get thrown into the ropes, you're like, they're not like bouncy. They're actually like very, very painful to be thrown into.
That got brought up actually this time, because Beck Clancy from The Times was with us, and she recalled when we went in the ring, and apparently one of you threw me towards the ropes, and I legged it full pelt and then slowed right down at the very end and just kind of like gently nudged off it, because I knew how painful it was if you actually
that's right.
threw yourself into it. So it was a lot of fun. I got to meet two of the wrestlers, don't know who they were. One of them spoke no English, one did and was very nice.
Well, that's because he had a mask on. He didn't know who he was.
True. Both did.
But the mask thing as well is very interesting. Yeah, like, that is a really big deal in Mexican wrestling. And I'm going to go down a quick rabbit hole here. There's still a controversy in American wrestling that one American company made. You probably heard of Rey Mysterio. But they made him take his mask off when he arrived at WCW in like 1998. And then when he went to WWE in like 2002, that he just appeared with his mask on again. And everyone was like, cool, we know what he looks like. But it was like seen as so insulting that they made him wrestle without it. So it's a big deal. Like, and them, if they're ever unmasked, we were there 1 year and a guy did get unmasked. And that effectively, I was told, then like retires that character. And they come back as, they'll come back. They might take a bit of time off. Sometimes it's when they're injured or when they're retiring, like for good. And I remember it was a really big thing, wasn't it? And there was a big standing ovation at the end because he'd been unmasked and everything. So it's really, it's kind of cool how that tradition came about.
Yeah. It's a fun night. If anyone, well, I did bring you one back. You did request it. I've got one.
Oh, you legend. I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah. That's nice of you. You go.
Thanks, man. I'll wear it for the next show, maybe.
Do it.
Deal.
Did you get your birthday this weekend, isn't it? So it's a birthday present for you.
Yes, it is. I'll see you at the rugby, actually. So
you will. Sunday. Sorry, Nate. Nate, not Nate. You're Lawrence.
Did you go to the Day of the Dead festival as well?
Nah, I was working. Some people went, but they finished work. Like with the time zone, I find it really strange. My workload doesn't really change race to race in terms of how late I finish each day. Just the timing of certain things maybe are less pressured in European races or in Asia. But in the US and Mexico, because of the time zone compared to Europe, a lot of people in the press room were kind of done half an hour after qualifying. So like, well, too late for deadlines and nothing we can add. So they just left. And I was there for another like 4 hours.
Oh,
so
no.
I was lonely.
Oh, dear.
Poor Meadows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, we can't end the podcast there. That's really sad, isn't it?
All right. Well, let's end it then with... we did say we're not going to do reviews anymore because you have all started writing essays and they're incredible, but it just takes hours. So reviews will only make the cut from now on air, that is. We appreciate them normally if they're punchy, and even then probably not, because we've actually got a lot to talk about these days, as much as this show hasn't shown it because we're all jet lagged, but because we're all traveling so much, there's quite a lot going on. So there's one review that I will read out because it's a 5-star review titled Pad Hoc from Gray Smith 1989 in the US of A. That the title is Pad Hoc and the content is, or Pada Wanna Hockaloogie. Boom, 5 stars. That was the extent of the review. So
Well, thank you for the five stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Padawana Hokaloogie. Is that a reference that I should know?
I don't know if it is.
Doesn't Hokaloogie mean you spit at someone? It's when you do that horrible thing. Because a loogie is like... I don't know. Americans, let us know if that is. I think, but it's when you do that horrible like,
game.
Or is it something like that? I don't know. But if they go as five stars, then maybe you're spitting in appreciation.
Spitting compliments?
Oh, nice, yeah.
Maybe. I have no idea what it actually is.
Well, thank you for the review. Anyway, I do appreciate it. And, well, we all appreciate it. Sorry, not just me. You can continue to leave reviews on your preferred platform where you get your podcast, and tweet us at the Padhoc on Twitter. You can read Nate's work on ESPN.com, Midas' work on Racer.com, and my work on F1.com. And we'll do this again very, very soon.
I'm going for a nap.
Same, actually. Bye.
Network.